Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, February 27th, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege of assembling this morning in freedom to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And as we assemble this morning to feed on your word, we ask that God the Holy Spirit will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, I thought I was going to be running the Holy Trinity aneurysm hurdles. God is perfect, His timing is perfect, His decisions are perfect, and He said, hell no, you're not running that for a while. I got some other hurdles for you to run, the COVID hurdles. When I went into pre-op, of course they want to know all these questions. Have you been vaccinated? No. Are you going to? No. Do you want to? No. Have you had COVID? No. Well, I lied because I didn't realize it, but I had COVID. So I had to be tested. I'm not sure if I had it or they gave it to me. They stick those daggum gizmos clear up into your brain. I don't think it was COVID. I think it was rat poisoning or something up there. And then the doctor calls and says, you have COVID, and we're canceling the surgery, and you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Well, I was doing, you know, I never was walking that great. You guys realize that. And COVID can attack all different kinds of things. Well, it went to my joints, went to my knees and my shoulders. And, well, I became, you know what they call a guy? A man that's outside your front door with no arms and no legs? Matt. I was Matt. I was like no arms and no legs. And I was a total 100% invalid. Those were the hurdles that I've been running here for the last few weeks. And the fact that I'm up here, that shows you Debbie has the gift of healing. Well, I don't care if she does or not, as long as she lays on hands, that's the main thing. So I've been running hurdles and running hurdles and running hurdles, and I thank the Lord for the honor and the privilege to do that. I love running hurdles. I've run so many hurdles, though, I'm a little worn out, so I had to take a vacation, so here I am. For vacation. Also, tentatively, I have to go into pre-op early this week, and tentatively, the surgery, vascular surgery, will be Thursday, but I have to go through all of the pre-op work again. They have to test for COVID again, so I'm not going to say for sure. And I will not be here next Sunday, which normally, the first Sunday of each month, we have communion. I knew I wasn't going to be here, and I wanted to conduct communion. So we moved it to the last Sunday in February. And I can do that. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says it has to be when it has to be. But we're having communion. Also, just kind of a test. See, we're having communion. See, this is not only a test for me, and I get to run hurdles, test for the congregation, too. Sometimes when the cat's away, the mice will play, you know. So it's a test for you, I realize that. But I wanted to be here and get into the saddle, get used to getting into the saddle. I asked the doctor, I said, now after we do this surgery, how long before I get back in the saddle? He said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I'm a professional bull rider. I'm on the PBR circuit. How long before I get back in? Well, you're not. I said, well, no, I'm a pastor, but it's real similar. And so he said, well, it'll be a while. You won't be able to drive. You won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. So we still don't know. Deb and I will pick his brain on that here. But there's all this going on in the world, and it's going to get worse. But I expect all of you to glorify God to the maximum, no matter what goes on in the world. Of course, everybody is aware of what's going on in the Ukraine and with Russia and Putin. He basically would like, his objective is to restore the USSR. And by the way, I hope you all have been praying for the Christians in the Ukraine. There are a lot of Christians in the Ukraine. Great believers there. Doctrinal believers in the Ukraine. Jim Myers is a missionary to the Ukraine, a doctrinal missionary. Excellent. Been doing a fantastic job. Established a doctrinal Bible college in the Ukraine. And past doctrinal pastors from America have gone over from time to time and teach some of the classes. Todd Kennedy up in Spokane has gone over and taught there. Robbie Dean is over there now. Well, he may not. He and the Myers are in the process of evacuation. Jim and his wife Phyllis have been there for many, many years. And Phyllis has a lot of different health issues and problems. And in their evacuation, you all need to be praying for all the Christians in the Ukraine. And these are great believers, doctrinal believers. You should be praying for all of them. And for the Myers and their evacuation, and Robbie Dean, he he was over there at this time. He's a pastor. He's from Baraka, a pastor in Houston. And he was over teaching at the college. They're all in the process of evacuation. And I thought you would, you ought to get some information from doctrinal Christians. This is from Robbie Dean. To my beloved and much missed congregation, the adventure continues. Having awakened yesterday morning to the odd explosions of anti-aircraft fire, the day ended with me sleeping somewhat soundly at the Myers home in Rozivka. In between, one of the former students and member of the church gave me a hair-raising ride from Kiev to Jim's house, passing six cars at a time, weaving, but delivering me safely. I spent hours, it seemed, trying to find a way out. Our wonderful State Department just said, "Get to Poland and then we can help." I don't need your help if I get to Poland. And then Pam, the prayer warrior, sent a prayer alert to our Christian friends in AIPAC. One of them is a state senator in Arkansas who immediately contacted Senator Tom Cotton's office, and between them and group texts, including me, I was put in contact with a group that's business is extracting Americans from hostile environments. They like to keep their identity somewhat secret, though they were on Fox News last night, so that blows that. Three times in the night, I received calls and alerts changing the details of today's plan, and then we had to wait. By this time, Jim had decided to join Phyllis and me in our evacuation. We packed and prepared, and suddenly the word was given to head into Kiev. Just as we loaded into the car, we heard two enormous booms, probably within 10 miles. Not sure what they were and didn't want to hang around. Oleg, the school administrator, was driving back roads, dirt roads, swerving, passing, but we got to Kiev. At one point, we passed a Ukrainian artillery battery. Smoke was still curling out of the barrels. Soon we were driving into the center of Ukraine when I received a text pointing to where we were to meet the bus. All along the way, we were receiving updates that the Russian army was moving into Kiev from the east and were probably 5 to 10 miles behind us and closing. The whole time I was texting with our handlers and giving and receiving updates, his constant word was, go west, whatever you do, do not go back east. But it turned out the meeting point had shifted and we were to go back, excuse me, to the left bank near the school to meet the bus. It was less than a half mile from the teacher's apartment and the college. We arrived an hour early. Suddenly we heard air raid sirens going off. Our handler was texting me just what to do in case of a missile or artillery attack. We were right next to the building where the Word of God Church meets, so we ducked into the protection of that building. But after 20 minutes and no more sirens or explosions, we drove back to the meeting place for the bus. We have been in the bus now for 1 hour and are slowly making progress in bumper-to-bumper traffic. We are headed south out of Kiev and then east to the Romanian border. We will likely arrive around 10 or 11 p.m., then we must figure out the next move. I have been told all hotel rooms are full, but God in His grace has provided through one of our distant members who will fly into Bucharest, rent a car, and retrieve us. By the time we get on flights, I'm sure it will be at least Monday or Tuesday before we see Houston. Please, please be in prayer for those we left behind. Excuse me. For Nina Griglia, that she can get out and get back to Israel. For Oleg and Natasha Lozinski and Vova and Natalie Lozinski, as well as all of the students and church members that are scattering to homes, relatives, and other countries. Pray for our travels as we will be moving through southern and western Ukraine, and that we will not meet any Russian forces. Our drivers and their organization are well informed and keep up the communication well. Pray for our safety and ability to negotiate all obstacles and enemies. And last, I am overwhelmed with gratitude for all those thousands and many dozens of churches who prayed and are praying for us. Our gratitude is profound and deep. Our God engineered this in eternity past. He arranged all of the connections in my life which led to being able to get us out. There is no doubt that I was there perhaps for this very purpose. We all need to be humbled by what God has done for us and pray for the Christians in the Ukraine. Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Well, that's Pastor Robbie Dean, doctrinal pastor from Houston. He actually grew up and was at Baraka for a long time. Is now pastor of a church in Houston. Jim Myers, this came after what Robbie sent. Beloved prayer warriors, we are overwhelmed by the outpouring of your love and concern for us. It's now 3:30 in the morning. We had to walk a couple of miles with luggage to get to the Romanian border. After standing in a huge crowd of people for 3 hours in sub-freezing temperatures, we finally crossed the border into Romania. We have been waiting for almost an hour to get to security checks. I hope it will be soon. We have been on the go for over 40 hours. Phyllis, his wife, is holding up well with the help of some medication. We pray the walking and exposure to the cold and lack of sleep will not worsen things. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God, and in Him I will trust. All by grace. Jim Myers. So, this is reality, what's going on. Some of you perhaps did not realize the doctrinal ministry there, the positive volition that has been in the Ukraine, and excellent preparation and doctrinal teaching of the believers there. All right. Romans chapter 4. It'll be interesting. I haven't stood in one place without falling down for a while. If I'm up here kind of trying to get my knees loosened up a little bit, you'll have to understand. When we have communion and I walk down the stairs, if you would all get your card with the numbers 1 to 10, if I do a couple of flips, I want to know if I stuck the landing or not. So you can give me a 1 or a 5 or whatever. Romans chapter 4. Corrected translation, starting with verse 1. What then shall we say? Or what then do we conclude? That Abraham, our human forefather, has found, or obtained, or discovered in this matter. In fact, if Abraham was justified by works, first class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, let's assume that he was, then he has a basis for boasting. He has something to boast about, but absolutely not before God. Verse 3. Indeed, what does the scripture say? Now a quotation from Genesis 15:6. Now Abraham believed in the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it, his faith in Christ, was credited to him for righteousness. But the one who works for salvation, his payment, his reimbursement, absolutely is not credited according to the norms and standards of grace, but according to the norms and standards of debt. But to the one who does not work for salvation, but believes in the one who justifies the unbeliever, his faith in Jesus Christ is credited to him for righteousness. Verse 6, just as David also proclaims as teaching and confirms in his writing the salvation blessing to man, to whom God imputes righteousness, is totally apart from works. And then verses 7 and 8, quoting Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Happiness is to the one whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. The salvation work of Christ on the cross, propitiating the righteousness and justice of God the Father. Happy is the man whose sin the Lord will never impute to him or count against him as a debt or IOU. That brings us to the next paragraph, Romans 4, 9 through 12, and where justification is totally apart from ritual works. And in the context, the ritual work is circumcision. You see, the Judaizers were teaching that you had to be circumcised to be saved. We know this, Acts 15, verse 1. And some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Acts 15, 1. So Paul answers the question, is the ritual of circumcision necessary for salvation? He answers the question, can you have salvation without being circumcised? If circumcision has anything to do with your salvation, then salvation is by works and not by grace. This also applies to the ritual today of baptism, water baptism. If water baptism has anything to do with salvation, if you have to be baptized to be saved, then salvation is by works, and that's the false gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong with being baptized. I've been baptized. Debbie's been baptized. Have you been baptized, Randy? Yeah, Dodie? Yeah. Pastor Breckel, who is, the colonel told me, doing the best job of any pastor in the country. And Pastor Breckel made it very, very clear when there was going to be water baptism service, he made it very clear it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with illustrating retroactive and current positional truth, your identification with Christ in his death and burial and resurrection. And so it's a picture, it's an illustration. And so, but he made it very clear, you're not going to be saved because of water baptism. But it means that you have understood and learned the doctrines that when you placed your faith in Christ and were had eternal salvation, that you were identified with Christ in his death and burial and resurrection, and now you're in union with Christ. So we got all of that teaching on retroactive and current positional truth and what water baptism was teaching, and understood that it has nothing to do with your salvation. And then we went through it, water baptism. And so I went through water baptism. And, we even at Dallas Seminary, we had a class. They gave us a class on how to baptize people, so that you didn't kill them while you're in the pool. And they told us how we're supposed to bend our... Boy, that's why we're not going to do it now. I can't even bend my knees. Make sure you bend your knees and go down. Kind of like the minister who's baptizing this guy. And does you believes? I believe. Down he goes. Does you believe? I believe. Down he goes. Does you believe? I believe. Down he goes. Does you believe? I believe you're going to drown me. So the context is, do you have to be circumcised to be saved? The application is, do you have to have water baptism to be saved? And the application today. So if circumcision has anything to do with salvation, then salvation is by works and not by grace. In Old Testament times, Jews were circumcised and Gentiles were uncircumcised. So Paul asks the question, was salvation a Jewish monopoly only for the Jews and not for the Gentiles? The Judaizers had distorted the ritual of circumcision into a false gospel of salvation by works. You had to be circumcised to be saved. Today we have a legalist teaching that you have to be baptized to be saved. Both are wrong. Romans 4:9. Is this blessing then for the circumcision, the Jews, or is it also for the uncircumcision, the Gentiles? Indeed, we repeatedly proclaim as teaching that his faith in Christ was credited to Abraham for righteousness. Abraham was justified by faith in Christ, not by works, and definitely not by circumcision, because Abraham was an uncircumcised Gentile when he believed in Christ. Abraham was imputed with divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ. Divine righteousness is imputed to any person who believes in Christ. Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Verse 10. How then was it credited? God's righteousness imputed to Abraham. While he was in a state of having been circumcised, or the state of uncircumcision? Absolutely not in the state of circumcision, but in the state of uncircumcision. And then I began summarizing this, and you got 4 points, right, Gary Brown?
That's right.
You well, you know what? Well, maybe you ought to come up here and I'll sit down there. Well, I bet, well, you know, I'm very happy to know that you can read. I mean, that's great. Point one, Abraham was a Gentile when he believed in Christ. Point two, Abraham was uncircumcised when he believed in Christ. Three, Abraham received the imputation of divine righteousness as an uncircumcised Gentile. Four, when Abraham believed in Jesus Christ, there was no Jewish race and there was no Israel. When Abraham believed in Jesus Christ, there was no Jewish race and there was no Israel. Point five. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Ur. Ur. And he had believed in Jesus Christ sometime before he left Ur. The actual time of his salvation is not known. It's not in the scriptures. But we know that before he left Ur, he left Ur when he was 75. Before he left, sometime before, he believed in Jesus Christ. Six. Therefore, Abraham was saved at least 25 years before he was circumcised. Therefore, Abraham was saved at least 25 years before he was circumcised. Seven. Abraham was a Semitic Gentile, an Akkadian, living in the famous third dynasty of Ur when he believed in Jesus Christ. Abraham was a Semitic Gentile, an Akkadian, living in the famous third dynasty of Ur when he believed in Jesus Christ. Eight, there was at least 25 years between Abraham's salvation and his advance to spiritual maturity. And it was when he became a spiritually mature believer, that's when he was circumcised. So he was... There was at least 25 years between Abraham's salvation while he was still in Ur of the Chaldees and his advance to spiritual maturity when he was circumcised. Nine, when Abraham believed in Jesus Christ, he was a Gentile. When Abraham believed in Jesus Christ, he was a Gentile. And at least 25 years after his salvation, in 1 second after he was circumcised as a spiritually mature believer, he became a Jew. And 1 second after he was circumcised as a spiritually mature believer, he became a Jew. Ten. The Jewish race was not started at Abraham's salvation. It started when Abraham reached spiritual maturity. The Jewish race was not started at Abraham's salvation, but rather when Abraham attained spiritual maturity. 11. Therefore, Abraham's salvation has absolutely nothing to do with circumcision. Therefore, circumcision has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Therefore, circumcision has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Now, we're looking at the ritual of circumcision because in the ancient world, this is what separated. The Jews were circumcised, the Gentiles were uncircumcised. And I realize that today most are circumcised. Most males are circumcised. And I'm not Jew. I'm not a Jew. I'm a good old Norwegian, part of me, and then my mother says, you're a mess, and everything else. And males were circumcised. So this isn't a big deal today. But there are still rituals today that are you can substitute in, like water baptism. And I'm sure you've come in contact with people, and I have too, in giving the gospel. And I've asked them about what you have to do to be saved, and you have to believe in Christ and be baptized. And then I just say, I want to understand this. You have to be baptized to be saved. What if you're not baptized? Well, then you're not saved. Well, that opens up a great door for you to give the gospel and grace and salvation by grace. And so this is a big deal today, and it's been distorted into a false gospel of salvation by works. So 13, therefore there is no salvation by ritual works, whether it is circumcision or water baptism or the Lord's table. There are some that even you have to take communion for salvation. Therefore, there is no salvation by ritual works, whether it's circumcision or baptism or the Lord's table. 14. Salvation by being circumcised or baptized is a false gospel. It's a false gospel. Salvation by works is a false gospel. Not one person will be in heaven because they were circumcised or because they were baptized. So Romans 4, 9 and 10 says, is this blessing then for the circumcision, the Jews, or is it also for the uncircumcision, the Gentiles? Indeed, we repeatedly proclaim his teaching that his faith in Christ was credited to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was in a state of having been circumcised, or the state of uncircumcision? Absolutely not in the state of circumcision, but in the state of uncircumcision. Verse 11. It starts out, and he received the sign of circumcision. This is the conjunction chi plus the aorist active indicative of lambano plus the noun semion with the genitive singular of peritome. The conjunction chi Might take a while to get over here. The conjunction chi, K-A-I, well, a lot of you say, well, that means and. Sometimes it does, it is continuative. Sometimes it's adjunctive also. Sometimes it's assensive even. Sometimes it's emphatic. And here it is an emphatic chi, should be translated in fact. And then we have lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N, long O, lambano. Now, lambano, it can be used actively or passively. Actively, it means to take in the hand, to take hold of. However, when lambano is used passively, as it is in our verse, it means to receive, to obtain, to receive something without earning it or deserving it. At spiritual maturity, Abraham received a semeion. When he reached spiritual maturity, Abraham received a semeion, a sign. S, long E, M, E, I, O, N. Semeion. All right, a couple of things. One, semeion means a sign, a distinguishing mark by which something is known, an indication. A sign here, the sign is circumcision. Two, semeion is also a miracle. Now, we've studied this. We've studied this, the miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Semeion means a miracle. It means an event that is contrary to the usual course of nature. Three, the miracle was that at the very second of circumcision, Gentile Abraham became Jewish Abraham. The miracle was that at the very second of circumcision, Gentile Abraham became Jewish Abraham. Four, the miracle also was that sexually dead Abraham became sexually alive Abraham. And then we have peritome, that's P-E-R-I-T-O-M, long E, peritome. Peritome is the Greek word for circumcision. Now the genitive case is very important. The genitive case is the genitive of apposition. The genitive of apposition. The noun in the genitive, circumcision, is the same as the word to which it stands related, which is semeion or sign. So the corrected translation. In fact, he received the sign of circumcision. And then it says the seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Boy, I tell you what, that's a mess in the King James. We have the accusative singular of stragos, plus the genitive singular of dikaiosune with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of pistis with the definite article, the genitive singular of the definite article before a prepositional phrase. This is so awesome. This is beautiful Greek. You know, I do push-ups, but I never get back up. If I got down, and I can get down. I can always get down. I just don't know if I get up. This is beautiful Greek. We have here, first of all, svragos. S-P-H-R-A-G-I-S. Fragus. Literally, it's a seal put on documents saying this is very important. Figuratively, it means to confirm, to authenticate, to validate. Figuratively, Abraham received the sign of circumcision that confirms the imputed righteousness he already possessed through faith in Christ as an uncircumcised Gentile. And then to Kaiosune, righteousness. D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E. Dikaiosune, righteousness. This is God's imputed righteousness of salvation. And then the genitive case of pistis is the genitive of mean. Genitive mean. So we got pistis, and then it's going to be modified by a prepositional phrase. And this is what I'm saying. This is cool. This is how great Greek is. P-I-S-T-I-S, that's the Greek word for faith. It's the genitive means. It specifies the means by which something is done, by means of faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Now this pistis, let me put this up. I got to put this up here because you'll probably, some of you just pass out and you see it. So fantastic. That's an article in the genitive case. Well, we got tase pisteos. That's the genitive case of pistis. Tase pisteos. And then, following that, we have another article, tase. So we got taste pisteos, that's the noun, that's faith with the definite article. Now another article in front of a prepositional phrase, taste en te acrobustia. So this definite article is in front of this prepositional phrase, and it follows this noun with. And this is the genitive case. That means that this whole prepositional phrase functions as an adjective to modify pistis. Woo! Hold on. We may have to put seatbelts in some of these chairs. That prepositional phrase, because that article tells us that prepositional phrase is an adjective modifying pistis. Oh, I love it. You would never get that by reading an English translation. I got three Bibles up here. They're all different translations, but they're all translations. None of them are the God-breathed scriptures. That's the original autographs. Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. And by the way, I mentioned Robbie Dean, pastor in Houston. There are several adjunct faculty to what I think is the only seminary where there is any preparation of men for the ministry, and that's Chafer Theological Seminary, not Dallas. Chafer Theological Seminary. Used to be in California. Who wants to be in California? They moved and went to New Mexico, Albuquerque. And one of the adjunct members of the faculty is Robbie Dean. To be any of the adjunct members of the faculty, you had to have master in theology and Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, and they teach Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic to the students, which is great. And so that there is a, it's hard today in America to have men prepared for the ministry, but that's probably the best place, Chafer Theological Seminary. And these adjunct faculty, they, from time to time, just as Robbie went to the college in the Ukraine, they go and teach classes at Chafer Theological Seminary as well. So here we have the definite article in front of the prepositional phrase makes the prepositional phrase literally an adjective modifying pistis or faith. So literally, literally, this says, I'm giving it again, the in the state of being uncircumcised faith in Christ. The in the state of being uncircumcised faith in Christ. That's the literal translation of that. I think it's beautiful. So it says in verse 11, in fact, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal, a validation of the righteousness by means of faith in Christ that he had in the state of being uncircumcised. See, we smoothed out the literal translation. But in the literal, the in the state of being uncircumcised faith in Christ. We brought this across, smoothed it out. In fact, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal, a validation of the righteousness by means of faith in Christ that he had in the state of being uncircumcised. See, anybody need oxygen? No? All right. Well, it's a wonderful vacation to be back in the saddle and to be teaching God's Word. That's the only reason why I'm here. There's only one reason why I'm here, and that is to study and teach God's Word. Now, I'm going to put it on some of you. When I'm not here, well, I've been here every class, every day for years and years and years and never have what you call a vacation. Well, this is my vacation. God has it to... And we're going to be studying it. Wait till we get to Romans 5. Oh. See, I've been over here studying. I can sit if I use the walker and getting from the office down here back and forth. I've ruined Al and the deacons. Got the floors looking all nice and I could take the walker and scar them all up. But I've been over here studying every day. And I tell you, Romans 5, wait till we get to Romans 5. And everything I was studying there and getting in Romans 5, is God was talking to me exactly the doctrine I needed right now running these hurdles. I needed this for running the COVID hurdles. I needed this for running the, I don't know even what's in store with the Holy Trinity aneurysm hurdles, but that's down the road. By the way, I call it the Holy Trinity because there's three of them. And so, anytime God wants to, He can. I'm on His perfect timing. I want you all to know, I love my Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit. I love them more today than I've ever loved them in my life. And whatever His plan is, awesome. If His plan is for me to get back in the saddle and study and teach God's Word, awesome. If His plan is for me, no. You're not going to get back in the saddle. Then that's awesome. And if His plan is for me to go home to heaven, that's the most awesome. So whatever the plan is, great. It's a perfect plan. He's a perfect God with a perfect plan and perfect decision. And I've been a few classes that I haven't been here because I was running some spiritual hurdles. But the classes that we're playing, I know that they're a while back, but they are just as pertinent now as when I taught them. The Follow the Lord series. Follow the Lord series is just as important. And it, whether I am communicating to you on, I don't even know what those are, MP3 or whatever, or I'm communicating to you face to face, it's Bible doctrine. So it's a test for you too. Are you going to keep on keeping on? See, I told the deacons, don't tell anybody I'm going to be here. Don't tell anybody I'm going to be here. I want to see where the mice are, if they're playing or here. You keep on keeping on. Doesn't make any difference whether I'm here, and I hope that I'm here back in the saddle night after night after night. This is my vacation, and I hope I'm here. But if I'm not here, this is a test for you. Where are you going to be? You keep on keeping on. And I wanted to have communion tonight, because I know I won't be here next weekend, and I'm not sure what the rehab period is on this deal. So we're going to take a break now, and then we'll have the Lord's table.